101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Our dear friend, Keith Bryant, in studio with the Shreveport Volunteer Network. First of all, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Man, last night, that was a lot of water in a very short period of time. Are you already inundated? Have you gotten calls?
Not yet.
Really? Oh,
praise God, not yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know I heard a tree fall in my area.
It had to have. With that much water, that much wind.
My street that normally doesn't flood was underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Cars were going 2 miles an hour, including fire trucks by me.
Right. Now, when it's in the heat of the storm like that, Keith Bryant, Shreveport Volunteer, do you get out in it to see what the trouble, or do you stay and wait until you start getting calls?
Well, this year we bought a high water rescue vehicle.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, a big military deuce and a half. And we deployed it when we went to Texas a few months ago after the floods there, and we used it to cross the streams. I wanted to get out last night, but my wife was out, and so I had my daughter there, and so it's family first.
Oh, yeah, I get
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I get that. So what will be the order of the day for you? Calls will start coming in when people wake up and see, hey, I've got a tree down on my house or wherever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
And I actually drove through Broadmoor this morning on my way to work. I made a couple of passes, and I saw limbs, but I didn't see, like, big trees tumped over yet. We don't know what we're going to see until it's daylight.
We really don't know. And the south part of, I know I have a friend of mine down on Pleasant Hill. I'm pretty sure we're going to be going and visiting him.
Mm. I didn't notice anything going through either as far as that. But when it's been so dry for so long, and mm-hmm. then you get inundated like that, that sogs those trees in the base of those trees. It loosens that up a lot.
Absolutely. What is the behind the scenes for you? I mean, like last night, you know it's coming through. You're home with your daughter. Do you start activating your people that help you and say, hey, be ready, we might need to work tomorrow?
Yeah, we're on the list for Caddo Prepares, the Homeland Security.
Okay.
Those guys are fantastic, and we help them when they need stuff. So first thing I do is I start reaching out to our core guys, and then going and getting new chainsaw blades and bars on the chainsaws, and making sure that, you know, the equipment's fueled up, making sure our batteries are charged. On all of our equipment, which we have a rescue drone now too, which is thermal imaging, so you know we can help locate people after the storms and stuff like that. So,
wow!
So we just start making sure everything is ready to go. You know, I was ready to go last night, and I saw all the calls coming in. You know, to Caddo 911, people mm-hmm. are stranded in the streets and.
That was the big thing last night. It was a lot of high water rescues.
That's the big thing. Turn around, don't drown. I still, to this day, I cannot understand how somebody wants to drive a little car through.
You don't back up and take another run at to go faster
to
get through.
Turn your flashers on and sit and wait. You know, it's okay. You'll be all right.
Not that anybody in this room has ever done that.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It's time for him to go. No.
And you know,
I made a horrible mistake one time. I really did.
Years
and years ago. I was like 23, and I thought if I backed up my vehicle about 25 yards, stop laughing, I'm not done yet. And got a good run at it, that I would be like a ski boat.
Yeah.
That I would just ski right through. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. Try it.
Do you remember the log ride at Hamels?
Yeah. I should have known. But anyway, yeah, I drowned again. That was not a small car. It was an SUV. But you'll be doing what today? Who can you help? Who do you help?
Can I say one more thing about the flooding and driving through that water?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I have a big four-wheel drive pickup truck. I can drive through just about anything, we think. But when we start driving through that headlight high water, a lot of times the city sewer drains, they get pushed up and out, you know, the big metal drains.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
A lot of people get stranded that way because their tires end up inside those.
Ooh,
okay. You know, just because a lot of times we think we can drive through that high water. So, it's better not to.
So who do you help today?
Who
is on your
point.
List of people that can call and get help from the Shreveport Volunteer Network?
Just give us a call. If you need something... give us a call.
Okay.
You know, if you have trees down, debris, that you can't handle, you know, just give us a call.
Especially if it's on your house.
I mean, if it's on your house, for sure. For sure. And after big storms like this, you generally have a lot of people from out of town come in, and they want to, you know, give good deals and this and that. Now, a lot of those guys are shysters.
Mm-hmm.
So be very, very
careful. Are you talking about rescue people or whatever?
No,
or recovery
people?
I'm
talking about tree and debris removal. And besides, we have some of the best arborists in the country right here in Northwest Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, how quick is your response? If I call you this morning and say, hey, I got a tree bumping up against my house, is it kind of a priority? Like, if a tree is in somebody's house, you're going there first?
For sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And if somebody is probably able-bodied or has good insurance, try your insurance first, right?
Yeah, for sure. Don't take advantage of the system.
Okay, gotcha.
We like to help those that can't help themselves, you know. Now, we've helped a lot of people that, you know, because nowadays, just because you have insurance, you know, they cut it off your house. Most mm-hmm. of them will just pay to cut it off your house. They won't pay for your debris removal. Oh, they won't pay. So, you know, now would be a good time to check your insurance policies, too, to see what kind of, you know, before the spring storm season comes mm-hmm. around and hits and whatnot.
This is for you, and I know your heart. This is a God thing and a heart thing for you. But it doesn't fund itself.
No.
This is one of those things. If you're looking for an end-of-year tax deduction for a great operation, because these guys work year-round, how can folks help the Shreveport Volunteer Network?
You can donate at ShreveportVolunteerNetwork.com, or you can give us a call. You can go on Facebook and We hardly ever ask. God always gives us everything we need, and he's always on time.
Right.
And sometimes we have nothing in the bank, and he's waiting on us to jump. You know, he's just waiting on us to go, and then once we go,
here comes provision.
So if you're looking for a group that does nothing but God's work and from their heart, and you want to donate, small, large, it doesn't matter. Shreveport Volunteer Network is one of the core folk groups in our community that does so much good.
What got you started doing this?
It was Hurricane Harvey 2017.
Okay.
Actually, the Lord told me to go down there, and we fed hundreds of thousands of meals.
Wow.
It was really cool. It was really neat. God, he showed me some things. He really showed me his face when we were there.
Keith Bryant, Shreveport Volunteer Network, thanks for coming in. You're always available. And golly, does so much in our community.
Yeah.
One of the good guys, folks. One of the good guys.
Check him out on Facebook, Shreveport Volunteer Network. Keith, thank you so much.
Yes,
Mikey
sir.
McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I know I heard a tree fall last night. Off in the distance. A big boom and then a boom. I don't know how far away it was, but it was late last night too.
We've got another dog that we got from the Humane Society that she spent most of her life in the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
So she's never learned to be a dog.
Oh yeah.
And our dogs are now they're okay. It's amazing. It's
they've
so
assimilated.
Cool. Yeah.
That big old word.
But she's afraid of. We have these calming shoes.
What?
And so, yeah.
You put calming shoes on a dog?
Shoes.
Oh,
shoes.
I was like, shoes.
Yeah, calming shoes, yes.
Shoes. I didn't know that because I got a text last night. I have a friend who still has Bo, actually, from what's going on.
Right.
And she texted me last night out of the blue. She goes, is he afraid of storms? And he does. He barks at thunder.
Oh,
and so he was probably barking and kind of nervous. And I said, yeah. So he was up in the bed with one of her kids. They were kind of snuggling.
Well, I
have to get her some calming chews.
It was so violent last night for a while. I've never even thought of this or experienced this. But from in our bedroom, I hear.
Oh, no.
our cat was scared to death.
Oh, poor baby.
I know. I said, I've never heard of a cat being afraid of storms.
Yeah, really?
So it was crazy.
It was a big boomer. I really was expecting a lot worse when I got out this morning. And I literally drove through part of Broadmoor. I was early getting to work. So I said, let me roll through a couple of the streets in Broadmoor and see if I see anything.
Yeah.
And really, all I could see was a few little limbs down, you know, like brushy limbs. And the SWEPCO numbers, I think, have improved considerably. Early this morning, they had about 2,000. I think now they're down to 400 in Caddo.
I'm looking at outage cases, 112.
Caddo?
It just says cases.
Okay.
I don't know if that's just Caddo.
Well, you can switch it by parish and it'll show you. But it's one of the SWEPCO workers just sent me a list, said Caddo 400, DeSoto fewer than 5.
So, not too bad then.
They're getting it back on quick because I heard a lot. I mean, the thunder and lightning was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I was up late. My sleeping right now is so screwy. And so I slept till like 9. My nap went till almost 9.
Oh, wow.
And then I woke up and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? It's like,
right.
Squirrel. Yeah.
See, I can't do that. I can't take a nap during the day because I'm that way.
Yeah, I had to. And I was resting good. And then I was watching the Monday night football game and tinkering around a little bit. And then another storm brewed up last night around 9 or 10 o'clock. And I thought, golly, this was a big doozy. It really was a doozy.
Yeah.
So, thankfully, I haven't seen anything about anybody hurt. But I did see a lot of high water rescues. They were everywhere. And I told you this how many weeks ago. The Knight Street Project, they have the construction crew for some reason has decided to lower that road by about a foot.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
And I'm not sure why. They've put in the drainage and all that. But right up there by Golden Chick and Shreveport-Barksdale Highway, it was impassable last night. People couldn't get through. And you
can't
go north on Knight Street now. Okay, so follow this. You couldn't go south by Golden Chick.
Okay.
And you can't go north from the other direction.
Well, it only runs north and south.
So I don't know what some people did.
Wow.
If they were trying to get... Now, you could go back by the IRS office and get to South Point and then come south. So maybe they did that. But I thought right now that was a mess last night. And I saw one car underwater over there and I thought, oh, man. Now, there was underwater cars all over town. And it was just one of those. We needed the rain, though. Lord knows we needed it.
We need the rain.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to see the vehicle that Shreveport volunteered, that high water rescue vehicle.
Oh, yeah, cool. That would be cool.
Check out their Facebook page.
Absolutely. They do such great work, big time.
Yeah. Mm. News is next. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
The only reason I don't want Christmas decorations before Thanksgiving because I think Thanksgiving gets lost.
Yes. Yes.
Not that I don't. Some of my neighbors, their front porch is beautiful, by the way. They have these lights. They have a tree on the porch.
Nice.
That's all lit. And it's just beautiful. And my mom was like, it's too early. I said, it goes by so fast.
Right, right.
That you, I keep going, well, I don't want to watch Elf yet. I don't want to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles yet.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, we didn't even get to watch Elf this year. It went by, and we didn't get to watch. So I don't have a problem, but I don't want Thanksgiving to get lost.
It really is an important time to remember what we really are thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the things that we have in our lives that matter. You know, and sometimes if you have a difficult year, I've had a little bit of a rough year, you realize, you know, the people that love you and care about you, man, be thankful for that. But it really is.
I think I love Thanksgiving more because you get together with family, but yes, it's not the chaos.
Right.
You don't have to worry about gifts and mm-hmm. you don't have to worry. It's just basically getting family getting together.
Yes, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Focusing on our blessings.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel is going to join us right after the break, talking about last night's storm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Weather Channel meteorologist Richard Llewellyn joining us. Richard, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Boy, you were right last night, yesterday. Boy, it was a gully washer. That was a lot of water. That was a lot of water that came down.
Yeah, it was actually more than what I thought we were going to get. We ended up, we were forecasting up close to 2 inches of rain, and we ended up getting 3.42 inches, a record for Shreveport for the date yesterday. So, there was a lot of flash flooding reports around the area as a result of all the heavy rain that we got. And, of course, a lot of standing water in a lot of spots. So, beneficial rain for us. We've been pretty dry, but we didn't all need it all at once.
Right. Were there any reports of maybe possible tornadoes or anything like that?
So far I haven't seen anything in regards to any reports. I've been kind of going through some of the preliminary reports so far this morning, and all I've seen so far is just a lot of flood reports. Of course, there was tornado damage down in the Houston area with some of those stronger storms that went through, and went through a pretty populated area yesterday in the Houston metro, where they dealt with a lot of damage and a lot of power outages on the north side of Houston, where they had a spin up down there. But so far, from the local storm reports I've seen here that's come out of the Shreveport office of the Weather Service, haven't seen any reports of any wind damage or any storm damage, just a lot of flash flood reports.
Minimal power outages now this morning. They're down into the hundreds. There were a couple of thousand, but looks like they've got most of that restored now, which is good news, huh?
Yeah, that's good news. In fact, once these storms went through last night, a lot of power crews were able to get back out there and get the power restored in a lot of locations, just due to the fact that, the winds were able to come down pretty quickly as that line of storms came through yesterday. We were thinking that the worst of the storm damage, or if there was going to be any storm damage, it was going to be south of I-20 with these storms, and it looks like that's the way things kind of played out yesterday. I mean, most everything, from what I could see from the regional reports, it looks like the worst of the weather was actually south of I-20. So, we kind of, we were kind of on the outer edges of things here in Shreveport, but we still got a lot of water. And that seems to be the big story of the morning so far.
Absolutely beautiful days for the next few days. But then we've got some more rain coming on the weekend.
Yeah, we sure do. It looks like as we make our way into Friday night and Saturday, that's when the rains will start to go back up. And, I wouldn't be surprised if on Saturday we saw a couple of stronger storms come through then, and some more decent rain chances in the forecast. It looks like Saturday is going to be the big day for rain. And then possibly again on Monday. Right now we're looking at the possibility of another 2 to 3 inches of rain coming starting Friday night and lasting into Tuesday of next week. So there's going to be quite a bit of rain coming as we move toward the end of the holiday weekend and the first days of December coming up as we move into next week.
Go over then again our rainfall total, since we've got more coming. We got a good dosing of it yesterday. Are we still going to be short for the year? Is it still looking like that?
Let me take a quick look here right quick, because I had the climatology report up here, and I'm going to switch over to this screen and see where we're at. And believe it or not, with the rains that we got yesterday, we pretty much wiped out the rainfall deficit that we were going through. We are right now, since January 1st, we've had 55.8 inches of rain here in Shreveport. Normal value is 45. So for the year, we're over 10 inches above.
Wow.
But believe it or not, the rains that we got since September 1st is what's pulling the numbers down. That's why it's been so dry here as of late, because we've only had about 7 inches of rain since September 1st, and normal is 11. So that's where we're trying to make up in the rainfall buckets is during this dry period that we're in right now. And we were able to recover quite a bit of that. We're still down about 3 inches for where we should be at in regards to the rain since September 1st. But overall, we have made a huge dent in the ongoing drought concerns. Drought Monitor had us in a level 2 drought here in northwest Louisiana. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some improvement in that drought monitor when it comes out later this week.
Richard, let me ask you a question. I was someplace yesterday where I could hear the storms roaring through 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. And then it looks like we had another wave. Am I right? Did we have like two big storm systems come through, or was it like one that just was kind of engulfing us?
Yeah, we had an initial wave that came through in the morning, and then there were more storms that developed back over northeast Texas, where we were looking at some redevelopment over there. In fact, there were some pretty big storms when we talked this time yesterday in the Metroplex and over into portions of northeast Texas, all the way over to about Marshall. And we kind of figured at around 10, 11 o'clock that we would get, you know, a round of storms that would come through. And then we saw new development in the afternoon where we had another batch of storms come through. So we actually had two different waves, maybe even a third wave, if you count those few showers that we got earlier in the morning that moved through a couple of the northern parishes of Louisiana. So actually we had a little bit, you know, more closer to three waves of rain showers and storms that came through. It looks like the big one was with, you know, yesterday afternoon and into the evening when we got those heavy rainfall amounts.
I'm looking at the extended, and by Monday, Richard Lewelling with the Weather Channel, we're looking at freezing temperatures.
Whoa.
Monday night. Do you anticipate any winter precipitation of any kind?
Not this far south. I think what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at the colder air coming in as we move into a Monday night and early Tuesday. I don't think we're going to be looking at, you know, any icing concerns or anything like that. There are going to be a lot of travel concerns to deal with as we move on into the holiday weekend. You know, as we look on out through today and getting on into the day tomorrow, we're kind of seeing where the worst weather is going to be pretty much where we were talking about yesterday. It looks like we can take Atlanta kind of out of the mix. There may be some strong winds in Atlanta tomorrow morning, and there could be some delays there. Washington rain, New York rain, a lot of problems coming up on Thursday with a parade in New York City because of the strong winds there. Rains for Detroit, snow in Minneapolis and Chicago, so there's going to be problems there, and rain in the Pacific Northwest. Of course, as we get on out toward the end of the weekend, it looks like as we get on out towards Sunday, a large part of the country is going to be dealing with snow. Denver, Salt Lake City, Minneapolis, Chicago, Boston may be dealing with a little bit of snow there. Widespread rain showers from the Arklatex all the way into the deep south.
Richard Lewelling with the Weather Channel, thank you so much. We appreciate the update.
Thanks, guys.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
I know this might sound odd because do you send Christmas cards?
No, I used to, but I don't anymore.
Every year, we start getting Christmas cards, and I go, I'm going to do this next year. This is so nice. It's so nice to get Christmas cards, and I'd like to give that joy to someone else, and I never do.
I know, and it used to be such a cool thing, and you'd hang them up at the house. Sometimes you'd put them around a door frame or, you know, hang them up on the mantle, whatever. I get a few. I still get about 10 each year, which is nice. I appreciate every one of them, and I read every one of them.
Sure.
But I just don't. I don't think any Reuben, your generation, Christmas cards is not a thing. Completely out of the question, right?
I can't imagine Reuben sending Christmas cards. No. Nothing personal.
I'd love to get a Christmas card from old Ruby. I would love to see the picture alone.
No, I don't think as an adult, I don't think I've ever gotten a Christmas card.
Never gotten one?
No. I've gotten birthday cards because my birthday is on Christmas Day. But I've never gotten like a Christmas card.
Okay.
As an adult.
What's your address? Dadgummit.
On the corner of Bedlam and Squalor.
I used to live there.
Yeah. You're my neighbor.
I think it's a bygone thing. I think it's one of those things it's passe. Snail mail for his generation.
Well,
you don't ever mail a bill in.
No. When's the last time you bought a stamp?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've ever bought a stamp.
How much is a stamp today, Reuben? Do you have a clue?
No clue.
Okay.
A buck.
Not quite that bad.
Not quite that bad. Okay.
What is it now? 47 cents? I don't know.
See, I was going to say 32 cents.
No, it's in the 40s, I believe.
Is it really?
Yeah.
See, I always buy the forever stamps.
I'm the same.
I buy those, so you know you're good to go. Why would anybody not buy those?
My problem is I put my book of those forever stamps somewhere, and forever can't find them.
Right? I know exactly where mine are.
Are they in my car console? Are they in my wallet buried somewhere deep in my wallet? I don't know. What are they now?
Single first-class mail forever stamp cost 78 cents.
You're lying.
Wow, I was close.
78 cents to mail a letter today?
Isn't that funny that we're outraged?
I thought it was in the 40s. When did it go up to
32 cents.
Wow.
Standard letter, 1 ounce, 78 cents. A metered letter is 74, so you save money.
Wow. Now,
I
have in the past mailed things to my sons. You do get military rates.
There's your answer about sending Christmas cards.
Boy, no kidding. You ain't worth 78 cents. That's a lot of money. But the military rate, especially when I had one that was overseas, and the military rate is very good. They do take care of the military, except when you're mailing books. Books are so expensive to mail because they're heavy.
Yeah, but there's a book rate.
I got a book rate, but it still was pricey.
Yeah.
But when they wanted the snacks, you know, that was easy. That was an easy do. I could send snacks to where he was, and it was great. So, because the military, they do help. The post office does help the military, which is nice. But 78 cents?
78 cents.
Golly. Man.
So you get a roll of 100. Wow.
I have a ton of forever
stamps. That's 50 bucks.
I think I literally bought my forever Is that Northwood math again? I truly think I bought my forever stamps when they were under 50 cents.
I'm saying, so me too. Well, I thought they were 32. So what do I know?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Mm. Golly.
So if you get a Christmas card,
No kidding.
Exactly.
Unless it's somebody who's had forever stamps for forever.
Okay.
For the longest time.
Do you send thank you notes?
Yes, I do. I do too. I keep them right here.
Oh,
I
look
have
at
them
you!
Right
yeah, you
me.
Sure do.
Anytime anybody does something special, I try to send
a job off of a thank you note one time.
Really?
Because when I was in sales, and I would send thank you for seeing me, and later when this company was hiring, she was like, I was just so impressed by that.
If I could tell any salesperson today any tip to give you. Send a personalized thank you note with the person's name and something about them that you learned.
And Aaron, handwrite something.
You bet.
In this era of texts and emails, handwrite a note.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have to hire somebody to handwrite for me. I have serial killer handwriting.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to think I'm asking for a ransom if I write.
That's because of your address, Reuben, I'm afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it?
Squalor and...
Corner of Bedlam and Squalor.
Bedlam and Squalor. I love that. Speaking of Bedlam and Squalor,
oh,
Michael
no.
Corbin. with SWEPCO, going to give us an update on power outages after the news. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Seven FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Our good friend Michael Corbin from SWEPCO. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Aaron. How are you?
Are you calling us from Greece or Spain or some exotic location?
I'm in the lovely city of Shreveport, Louisiana right now.
Okay. Well, how disappointing for you, right? You've been doing some wonderful traveling. We had a major storm blow through last night. And traditionally in my area, if a squirrel pees on the line, we lose power. That has not been the case for a long time now. We didn't lose power last night. Kudos.
And you could not have said that any better, Mike. I mean, I think we can contribute the fact that we only have about 1,200 outages company-wide in Louisiana this morning. In our part of the world, about 400 in Shreveport, 400 in Bossier City, and some others scattered around in the Benton and Plain Dealing area. But I think a large part of that's contributed to we have done a huge amount of forestry work, trimming trees, trimming circuits, especially those that we knew were problematic.
Mm-hmm.
We had some extra money that we could put toward forestry this year. And I think this is an example of how that pays off. And that, and a combination of many of the trees are losing their leaves already. So, you know, the trees aren't as heavy as the wind blows and we get heavy rain. But we did well last night.
Well, I just wanted to recognize that because I do. I appreciate that. It was very nice. And it has been for a while now. So great job to you and your crews.
We are certainly pleased about it. And, you know, if you're one of those 1,200 whose lights are off this morning, you probably don't agree with me. But, you know, I'm sitting at an intersection right now at a Walgreens parking lot, and I see forestry, pole, and line crews gathered up, getting ready to go out and work their orders this morning. So crews are out. It's daylight. The rain stopped. The wind stopped. And if you're out, we're going to address that quickly.
Now, Michael Corbin with SWEPCO, at the height of the storm, how many were out in our area?
You know, our numbers really did not peak that much. I was not watching them all night, but I can usually judge by the amount of text and phone calls I get. And I think we stayed fairly steady most of the night. I was concerned because there was a lot of lightning as the last line of storms went through. But we seem to have fared well there as well.
Was the damage from the lightning or from trees down or a combination, or what was the bulk of it?
You know, I don't know for sure, but just on early reports, I think it is trees and limbs, and that brought down lines and in some instances will need a pole to be replaced. So that's why you'll see some pole crews out today. But largely it's just contact with lines, with trees or limbs.
Did you have any damage from high winds or anything?
No, interesting, because our forecasters, as well as the local forecasters, you know, talked about possibility of 50-plus mile-an-hour winds.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, those did not develop in our area. Now, I think down south, you maybe had some around the Toledo Bend area, you may have had some stronger gusts, but we didn't see a lot of damage down there.
We also had a lot of high water reports with a lot of motorists stranded. Does that have an impact on SWEPCO, on your crews being able to get to some places because there's high water that they just can't drive through?
It's not an impact for us as much in the city. You know, our vehicles are large and tall, and we can go through water. Where we run into problems with high water is in rural areas where water may stand in a right-of-way, and, you know, it is not uncommon that we have to have tracked vehicles or even boats to go out and make the repairs that need to be made.
You think you'll have everybody back on by today, the end of business today?
I'm going to say that I'm hopeful of that, but until I get a little more information, I won't be able to give the complete thumbs up. But 1,200 outages is not something that we can't overcome pretty quickly. Usually in a case like this, we can make a repair and large numbers of people come back on at one time.
Okay, one more thing before we let you go. I know you're busy. If people have tree limbs that are close to their power lines or that they look, it's like, man, this might cause a problem. What is the standard procedure? What do they need to do?
Now, you can go to our website and you can report a concern. You can call our customer care line. The number's on your bill, or you know, you may have it on speed dial on your phone to call for billing issues or something. And you can call and request that somebody from our forestry area come out and take a look. Again, we're doing a tremendous amount of work in the area. We started in the late summer. We'll continue into early next year. So we know where a lot of the trouble spots are. But sometimes there's just that errant limb that concerns somebody, and they can report it, and we'll have somebody go out and take a look.
And you've also got a fantastic app available as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you've not downloaded the SWEPCO app, we would encourage you to do that. Not only do you get your bill online, you can look at your usage as the month goes on throughout the billing cycle, but you can report an outage, a concern, a streetlight outage there, and just really make things move a lot faster.
By the way, most of I-20 was out as far as streetlights. I noticed on the way in this morning. Is that y'all or city?
Not him.
I'll call my friends at the city.
So will I, Michael.
Yeah,
so
go.
Will I.
Michael Corbin with SWEPCO. Thank you so much, Michael. We appreciate the update, sir.
Thanks. Have a good Thanksgiving. Hope to see you both soon.
You too. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Thanksgiving Eve. Mm-hmm. So today's like Thursday.
Yeah, we have a long
for
weekend.
The week.
We are off on Wednesday, on Thursday and Friday. We'll be playing best of some of our really good interviews. In fact, Scott Creighton on his comments about our district attorney. If you ever miss that interview, it's really, really good stuff. And Scott Musket. Cheer you up.
Always good.
I mean, he's good. We got lots of great stuff that is coming up. I have to tell you something here because it's been a little while since I've actually gone in a grocery store up and down the aisle with a buggy and shopped for my things. I have gone in to run in and get a, you know, bucket of eggs or whatever. Not a bucket of eggs.
A bucket of eggs.
Some eggs or milk or something like, no, not milk. I don't drink milk, but one or two things I have to grab real quick. And end up spending $100. So I try to stop doing that, and I order my groceries online and pick them up.
And you haven't had an issue with that?
Never. I have.
You're happy with
shoppers.
Other people picking out your groceries.
My produce is amazing. They do a great job. Now, there have been a couple of stores I've not been happy with, so I stopped going to those stores. But I did not realize, and maybe y'all will know, when did grocery stores, or have they always had Thanksgiving Day hours? I used to think they were closed on Thanksgiving. Grocery stores are open on Thanksgiving, and I did not realize that. Limited hours.
Right.
But they're actually open. Most of Aldi is the only one I could find that was closed. Walmart and Sam's are closed on Thanksgiving Day.
Really?
Yes. Walmart, most of the big retailers.
Really? Wow. See, that's surprising.
Most of the big retailers, Target, closed on Thanksgiving.
I would think Brookshire's would be closed.
Brookshire's is open until 2 p.m. So you have until 2 to go get your pie or whatever. Kroger is staying open all the way to 5. I don't like that for those Kroger workers.
No, that's what I'm saying. And Brookshire's to me feels more like a locally owned.
Yes.
I know they're regional out of Tyler.
And maybe there's incentives for them to work on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm sure they
remember volunteering for
that's
holiday
a good point.
Holiday hours because I made more money.
Yeah, typically it's double time on a holiday, so you get double pay. And so they ask for volunteers, and if they have enough, they keep the store open. Now, they may not have enough, and then they say, okay, you're voluntold. Yeah.
I know that Albertsons was open last year early in the day because I had to go in the rain and get vanilla extract.
They're closing at 4. Albertsons closing at 4. Whole Foods, which I thought for sure would be closed. Nope. Open until 3. Super One is closing at 2. And I'm not sure. We have a couple of Fresh Markets. They're closing at 3. And Food Lions in some of the rural communities, they're closing at 3 o'clock. So if you forget your pie or that cranberry sauce in a jar, don't get it. Don't bring that. But, yeah, some of them are open.
It even shows you where to slice it. It's got the lines on it.
Yeah, if you're a moron.
I was on my way home the other day, and my wife calls me. And she goes, are you close to the house? I said, no, I'm. She goes, good. Will you run by the grocery store and get red paper plates?
Red paper plates. Okay.
I said, okay. Because she does stuff for like the Hope House.
Sure.
She cooks for things like that. And I said, okay. She goes, yeah, I went to get what I had down and there's mold in it.
Oh, no.
And I was like, okay. Well, And then I said something, and she goes, I'm cooking so-and-so. And I'm like, why do you need red paper plates for that? And she goes, no, red pepper flakes.
That's funny.
I was like, you know, I'm so glad I cleared that up before I got home with a package of red paper plates.
Oh, you would have been dead. I would have gotten the call.
No, I would have had to have gotten back out.
Oh, yeah. Go back out and get the right stuff. Wow. That's funny.
I almost wish I would have, would have just done it for the story.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
Red paper plates. Okay.
Well, we had a little miscommunication, honey. Yeah.
The other day, my friend, I went to pick him up for lunch. His car was in the shop. So I went and got him, and we went to lunch. And when we were walking back out, we both almost forgot. I almost drove off and left him.
Really?
And I'm like, dude, I wish we would have done it just for the story.
Oh, my gosh. That would be funny. No doubt.
Oh, coming up, there's a new report on crime, no?
Keith Bryant.
Oh, Keith Bryant. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. We spoke to Keith Bryant of Shreveport Volunteer Network and about last night's storm. We'll get an update from him here in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Keith Bryant with Shreveport Volunteer Network gave us an update on the last night's storm. That's coming up just after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Our dear friend, Keith Bryant, in studio with the Shreveport Volunteer Network. First of all, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Man, last night, that was a lot of water in a very short period of time. Are you already inundated? Have you gotten calls?
Not yet.
Really? Oh,
praise God, not yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know I heard a tree fall in my area.
It had to have. With that much water, that much wind.
My street that normally doesn't flood was underwater. Mm-hmm. Cars were going 2 miles an hour, including fire trucks by me.
Right. Now, when it's in the heat of the storm like that, Keith Bryant, Shreveport Volunteer, do you get out in it to see what the trouble, or do you stay and wait until you start getting calls?
Well, this year we bought a high water rescue vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a big military deuce and a half. And we deployed it when we went to Texas a few months ago after the floods there, and we used it to cross the streams. But I wanted to get out last night, but my wife was out, and so I had my daughter there, and so is family first.
Oh, yeah, I get
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I get that. So what will be the order of the day for you? Calls will start coming in when people wake up and see, hey, I've got a tree down on my house or wherever.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's going to happen.
And I actually drove through Broadmoor this morning on my way to work. I made a couple of passes, and I saw limbs, but I didn't see, like, big trees tumped over yet. We don't know what we're going to see until it's daylight.
We really don't know. And the south part of, I know I have a friend of mine down on Pleasant Hill. I'm pretty sure we're going to be going and visiting him. Mm.
I didn't notice anything going through either as far as that. But when it's been so dry for so long, mm-hmm. and then you get inundated like that, that sogs those trees in the base of those trees. It loosens that up a lot.
Absolutely. What is the behind the scenes for you? I mean, like last night, you know it's coming through. You're home with your daughter. Do you start activating your people that help you and say, hey, be ready. We might need to work tomorrow?
Yeah, we're on the list for Caddo Prepares, the Homeland Security.
Okay.
Those guys are fantastic, and we help them when they need stuff. So first thing I do is I start reaching out to our core guys and then going and getting new chainsaw blades and bars on the chainsaws and making sure that, you know, the equipment's fueled up, making sure our batteries are charged on all of our equipment, which we have a rescue drone now too, which is thermal, thermal imaging. So, you know, we can help locate people after the storms and stuff like that. So,
wow.
So we just start making sure everything is ready to go, you know, I was ready to go last night and I saw all the calls coming in. You know, to Caddo 911, people mm-hmm. are stranded in the streets. And
that was the big thing last night. It was a lot of high water rescues.
That's the big thing. Turn around, don't drown. I still, to this day, I cannot understand how somebody wants to drive a little car through.
You don't back up and take another run at to go faster to get through.
Turn your flashers on and sit and wait. You know, it's okay.
Not that anybody in this room has ever done that.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It's time for him to go. No.
And you know,
I made a horrible mistake one time. I really did. Years and years ago. I was like 23. And I thought if I backed up my vehicle about 25 yards, stop laughing. I'm not done yet.
And got a good run at it.
That I would be like a ski boat.
Yeah.
That I would just ski right through. Yeah. It doesn't work like that. Try it.
Do you remember the log ride at Hamels?
Yeah. I should have known. But anyway, yeah, I drowned. And that was not a small car. It was an SUV. But you'll be doing what today?
Can I say one more thing about the flood and then driving through that water?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I have a big four-wheel drive pickup truck. I can drive through just about anything, we think. But when we start driving through that headlight high water, a lot of times the city sewer drains, they get pushed up and out, you know, the big metal drains.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
A lot of people get stranded that way because their tires end up inside those.
Ooh,
you
okay.
know, just because a lot of times we think we can drive through that high water. So, it's better not to.
So who do you help today? Who is on your list of people that can call and get help from the Shreveport Volunteer Network?
Just give us a call. If you need something, give us a call.
Okay.
You know, if you have trees down, debris that you can't handle, you know, just give us a call.
Especially if it's on your house.
If it's on your house, for sure. For sure. And after big storms like this, you generally have a lot of people from out of town come in and they want to, you know, give good deals and this and that. Now, a lot of those guys are shysters.
Mm-hmm.
So be very, very.
Are you talking about rescue people or whatever?
No,
or recovery
like tree
people?
Cutting
I'm
guys.
Talking about tree and debris removal. And besides, we have some of the best arborists in the country right here in Northwest Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, how quick is your response? If I call you this morning and say, hey, I got a tree bumping up against my house, is it kind of a priority? Like if a tree is in somebody's house, you're going there first?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And if somebody is probably able-bodied or has good insurance, try your insurance first, right?
Yeah, for sure. Don't take advantage of the system.
Okay.
Gotcha. We like to help those that can't help themselves, you know. Now, we've helped a lot of people that, you know, because nowadays, just because you have insurance, you know, they cut it off your house. Most of them will just pay to cut it off your house. They won't pay for your debris removal. They won't pay. So, you you know, now would be a good time to check your insurance policies too, to see what kind of, you know, before the spring storm season comes around and hits and whatnot. Just
this is for you, and I know your heart. This is a God thing and a heart thing for you, but it doesn't fund itself.
No.
This is one of those things. If you're looking for an end of year tax deduction for a great operation, because these guys work year round, how can folks help the Shreveport Volunteer Network?
You can donate at ShreveportVolunteerNetwork.com, or you can give us a call. You can go on Facebook and we hardly ever ask. God always gives us everything we need, and He's always on time.
Right.
And sometimes we have nothing in the bank, and He's waiting on us to jump. You know, He's just waiting on us to go, and then once we go, here comes provision.
So if you're if you're looking for a group that does nothing but God's work and from their heart, and you want to donate, it doesn't matter. Shreveport Volunteer Network is one of the core folk groups in our community that does so much good.
What got you started doing this?
It was Hurricane Harvey 2017.
Okay.
Actually, the Lord told me to go down there, and we fed hundreds of thousands of meals.
Wow.
It was really cool. It was really neat. God, He showed me some things. He really showed me His face when we were there.
Keith Bryant, Shreveport Volunteer Network, thanks for coming in. You're always available. And golly, does so much in our community.
Yeah.
One of the good guys, folks. One of the good guys.
Check him out on Facebook, Shreveport Volunteer Network. Keith, thank you so much.
Yes,
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So last weekend was the Las Vegas Grand Prix F1, and it's so cool to watch, and that huge sphere. Dina asked me the other day, she says, would you want to go to the sphere? And I said, but it would be cool, because it's the outside, it's just... It's incredible. It looks like HD, the video. It's amazing. Are we getting that here?
I'm not sure it's to be quite to that extent.
Well, of course not to that degree. I don't expect that.
But we are moving.
Is it going to be a video sphere?
It's
the G-Dome.
Curtis 50 Cent Jackson is moving forward with building a permanent G-Dome. If you remember last year's the Humor and Harmony Festival, he put a temporary one up there at that location downtown on Commerce Street, and it had held lots of events
in there.
Which
he's bought that property.
He has. He's bought that property. Now, they have spent the past 6 to 8 months doing environmental assessment. Apparently, there was some sort of meat processing plant there, and so they had to go down and check the tanks and maybe remove some of the tanks that were underground to make sure the environmental testing is all clear. And get the okay from DEQ, et cetera.
A meat processing plant. I love Shreveport history. I had no idea.
State Rep Stephen Jackson posted that on his Facebook page, and it looks like they've gotten the all clear now. And they posted a message saying that they're now going to be moving forward with building the G-Dome there. G-Units put up fencing around the property with the G-Unit logo. So I don't know whether or not it'll be ready by the March Humor and Harmony. I don't know. That's going to be a quick build, I would think. But, you know, I guess they're moving forward.
No, the original plans when he first started announcing the plans that he was going to do, wasn't it a sphere type of thing, a video sphere?
That's what it looked like. And, I mean, you could see on the temporary dome, you could see video on it. So I think that's his plan. Now, I don't know seating capacity or anything like that. I'm not sure yet. And how tall it will be, we don't know. We don't know yet. I need to check to see if any permits have been pulled yet. Haven't done that. I'll probably wait on that till next week to see if they've pulled any construction permits, because they've got to do all that. I mean, you know, he's going to follow the rules. He's not going to ask for any special favors. But we shall see. It's just cool to see the signs up around the property now. He's moving forward.
I wonder how the mitigation, flooding mitigation, is going at Millennium. That'd be a good time to check that right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To see if they had, I wonder if they had problems down there.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about it for yesterday.
Yes,
yeah.
Last night.
We need to ask if they got water back in Millennium again, or if they got something mitigating that problem. Oh, boy.
Coming up just after the news, we spoke with Michael Corbin with SWEPCO about power outages. We'll get an update. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. Seven FM 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Our good friend Michael Corbin from SWEPCO. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Aaron. How are you?
Are you calling us from Greece or Spain or some exotic location?
I'm in the lovely city of Shreveport, Louisiana right now.
Okay. Well, how disappointing for you, right? You've been doing some wonderful traveling. We had a major storm blow through last night. And traditionally in my area, if a squirrel pees on the line, we lose power. That has not been the case for a long time now. We didn't lose power last night. Kudos.
And you could not have said that any better, Mike. I think we can contribute the fact that we only have about 1,200 outages company-wide in Louisiana this morning. In our part of the world, about 400 in Shreveport, 400 in Bossier City, and some others scattered around in the Benton and Plain Dealing area. But I think a large part of that's contributed to we have done a huge amount of forestry work, trimming trees, trimming circuits, especially those that we knew were problematic.
Mm-hmm.
We had some extra money that we could put toward forestry this year. And I think this is an example of how that pays off. And that, and a combination of many of the trees are losing their leaves already. So, the trees aren't as heavy as the wind blows and we get heavy rain. But we did well last night.
Well, I just wanted to recognize that because I do. I appreciate that. It was very nice. And it has been for a while now. So great job to you and your crews.
We are certainly pleased about it. And, if you're one of those 1,200 whose lights are off this morning, you probably don't agree with me. But, I'm sitting at an intersection right now at a Walgreens parking lot, and I see forestry, pole, and line crews gathered up, getting ready to go out and work their orders this morning. So crews are out. It's daylight. The rain stopped. The wind stopped. And if you're out, we're going to address that quickly.
Now, Michael Corbin with SWEPCO, storm are out in our area.
Our numbers really did not peak that much. I was not watching them all night, but I can usually judge by the amount of text and phone calls I get. And I think we stayed fairly steady most of the night. I was concerned about a lot of lightning as the last line of storms went through. We seem to have fared well there as well.
Was the damage from the lightning or from trees down or a combination, or what was the bulk of it?
I don't know for sure, but just on early reports, I think it is trees and limbs, and that brought down lines and in some instances will need a pole to be replaced. So that's why you'll see some pole crews out today. But largely it's just contact with lines, with trees or limbs.
Did you have any damage from high winds or anything?
No. It's interesting because our forecasters, as well as the local forecasters, talked about possibility of 50 plus mile an hour winds.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, those did not develop in our area. Now, I think down south, you maybe had some around the Toledo Bend area. You may have had some strong, but we didn't see a lot of damage down there.
We also had a lot of high water reports with a lot of motorists stranded. Does that have an impact on SWEPCO, on your crews being able to get to some places because there's high water that they just can't drive through?
It's not an impact for us as much in the city. You know, our vehicles are large and tall, and we can get where we run into problems with high water is in rural areas where water may stand in a right of way. And, you know, it is not uncommon that we have to have tracked vehicles or even boats to go out and make the repairs that need to be made.
You think you'll have everybody back on by today, the end of business today?
I'm going to say that I'm hopeful of that, but until I get a little more information, I won't be able to give the complete thumbs up. But 1,200 outages is not something that we can't overcome pretty quickly. Usually in a case like this, we can make a repair and large numbers of people come back on at one time.
Okay, one more thing before we let you go. I know you're busy. If people have tree limbs that are close to their power lines or that they look, it's like, man, this might cause a problem. What is the standard procedure? What do they need to do?
Now, you can go to our website and you can report a concern. You can call our customer care line. The number's on your bill, or you know, you may have it on speed dial on your phone to call for billing issues or something. And you can call and request that somebody from our forestry area come out and take a look. Again, we're doing a tremendous amount of work in the area. We started in the late summer. We'll continue into early next year. So we know where a lot of the trouble spots are. But sometimes there's just that errant limb that concerns somebody, and they can report it, and we'll have somebody go out and take a look.
And you've also got a fantastic app available as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you've not downloaded the SWEPCO app, we would encourage you to do that. Not only do you get your bill online, you can look at your usage as the month goes on throughout the billing cycle, but you can report an outage, a concern, a streetlight outage there, and just really make things move a lot faster.
By the way, most of I-20 was out as far as streetlights. I noticed on the way in this morning. Is that y'all or city?
Not him.
I'll call my friends at the city.
So will I, Michael.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
Will I.
Michael Corbin with SWEPCO. Thank you so much, Michael. We appreciate the update, sir.
Thanks. Have a good Thanksgiving. Hope to see you both soon.
Thanks.
You too. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You know, the more I hear about Brian Kelly, the more disappointed I am.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard reports that basically he was burned out before he even got to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
That he took the job as a paycheck and spent more time on the golf course than he did in meetings with coaches and players. It's just so disappointing. It's not only disappointing, it makes me mad.
Right.
As an
right.
LSU fan.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't blame him for seeking his full $54 million buyout.
Yes.
I mean, I don't blame him. But the more I hear about how he handled all that, I'm more inclined to go, I don't want to pay him another nickel.
I know.
You got what you deserved.
Hmm.
Which ain't much.
No, exactly. But we got to pay him. It's part of the deal.
I know.
I hate that, but it's part of the deal. And, you know, it's sad, but we got to do it.
Now, there was a picture that was posted earlier this week of Knox Kiffin. Who's Knox Kiffin, you might say? Hmm. Well, that's Lane Kiffin's son, who was invited to LSU on a recruiting trip.
Okay.
He plays football, and he was seen in before his pregame warm-up wearing LSU headphones.
Ooh, okay.
Now, you know he got them as a gift.
Absolutely, yeah.
On his recruiting trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's known that the Kiffins are known to troll the media. Like Trump does.
Yeah.
Trump says stuff. His Trump 2028 hats. He's doing that just to control the media just to make folks upset.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's what the Kiffins do as well.
Yeah.
I've never been a Lane Kiffin fan.
Not a huge fan. I'll take him as coach, though.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But when you look at Brian Kelly's history, the winningest coach coming from Notre Dame.
Yeah. Had high hopes.
I was excited. I did. I had high hopes. Mm-hmm. And I was on the bandwagon for a long time.
Do you see what his son did, by the way?
Oh,
Brian Kelly?
Who plays for LSU.
Yep. Senior night. His last night.
Yes.
Tiger Stadium.
T-shirt.
Western Kentucky runs out on the field. Now, Brian's not there. Mama's there.
Right.
You know, he brings the rose out to Mama. And he raises up his shirt. And he's got a shirt on underneath that said... He said, long live BK.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the initials BK written on his shirt underneath. And I thought, why?
And then he said, save my boy, BK.
Yeah.
Who calls their dad my boy?
I know. Your boy's all right. He's going to have a lot of money.
Yeah, no kidding.
He don't need saving. He's good. But I thought, come on.
Save him? Like, what, do you want to bring him back?
Yeah. And are his parents divorced or not? I don't know the story there.
I heard they were. So, but then somebody said, no, they weren't.
Make this about Mom and your senior night. Don't make it about your dad. Make it about you and you're moving on. And, you know, he's not going to be a pro ball player. It's not going to happen for him. So you're moving on to your career, whatever it's going to be. Why step in some mud en route to that? You know, I thought that was classless. I wasn't impressed. Was not impressed.
Well, Kiffin said he's not going to announce his decision. Florida, I heard Florida's kind of like not even in the running anymore.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's one of the things that I heard. Hmm. I don't know how true that is.
Well, Kiffin was asked about it yesterday, and he kind of brushed him off.
Right.
Didn't say anything. He's gearing up for the Egg Bowl. That's Friday. That's a Friday. I think it's a noon kickoff, maybe 11 a.m. I'm not sure. So he, you know, of course, it's the Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Big game.
Right.
It's a big game in the state.
Stupid name for a game.
Yeah, it's Egg a stupid Bowl. Name for a
stupid
game.
Stupid name. Sorry.
But they want to get beyond that first and then make a decision.
I think it'd be hilarious if LSU came out Monday and announced Nick Saban just out of the blue.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be, I think that'd be hilarious after all of this with Kiffin.
Yeah. You know who else I was thinking of the other day? Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but you talk about burned out.
You're right. You watch North Carolina and it's like,
out.
He's just trudging up and down the side.
I think that was just a paycheck.
It had to be.
I don't know that I would even want him.
How much did they pay him, I wonder, to come to North Carolina? Who knows? Man, unreal. But but he's a legendary coach. There's no doubt players will come. You know, no doubt. I get to play for Belichick. Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, I guess.
But, I mean, is he finished as a coach in terms of his heart's not there?
How many would say the games passed him by?
Oh, there's a lot that would tell you that. Absolutely. And Kiffin is one of those ones that is on the upward cusp.
Right.
I mean, he's trying everything new. He's being real aggressive on the field. He's one of the first ones that, like, fourth down is not a always punt down anymore, you know? I'm going to go for
it. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's like fourth down, you got to, you're 2 yards away, and then you're all just going to punt.
Right.
I know.
The algorithms, and he studies it, and he's like, you know, we can go for it. We can make it. So we'll see.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I probably should have asked you, and you can go, nope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we'll move on. This video by these six senators, Congress people, former military, former CIA intelligence, that are basically encouraging members of the military to disobey, to not follow orders from President Trump. Now, they're saying, are you familiar with this?
No, that's the first I'm hearing of it.
Aaron,
who are these bozos?
I'm going to have to look it up. We're going to do this tomorrow then.
Okay.
I want you to look this up because they're encouraging members of our military to not follow illegal orders from the commander-in-chief.
Hmm.
Now, every one of them have been asked, what illegal orders are you talking about?
And who defines them as illegal?
Right. And see, because that brings up huge problems. Somebody in the military can't make a decision if they're given an order in the field, especially in a combat situation. They have to assume those orders are legal and they're protected.
Absolutely. I'll just say.
So
I'm not
they're basically fomenting an insurrection in our military against the commander in chief.
And I'm just going to say this, and I'm not going to name names or anything, but I know there are a lot of military members who were completely against some of the things President Biden was directing
in the military. Oh, my gosh.
But yet they followed the orders.
Right.
These were his orders.
As they should
have.
Those
were his directives. They didn't like them. They griped about them, but they followed them.
That's a great
point. He's the commander-in-chief, regardless of who the president is or your views. He's the boss, and it doesn't matter. And that's the way the world is built. And, you know, there are a lot of military that are going to agree on both sides, but... He's the boss.
It's gotten out of hand.
It really has.
It's really gotten out of hand.
Mm, yeah.
Actually fomenting dissension amongst our troops.
Golly.
If best case scenario, they're just instigating doubt.
It's almost treasonous in my view.
Well, and that's exactly what Trump is saying. This is sedition.
Mm-hmm. For a congressman? Wow.
Sitting congressman. Mm. And women.
Shame on you, man. Shame on you.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Heading into a long weekend. Mm-hmm. Last night's storms, we got a lot of rain.
Yes.
But looks like we've got some great weather for the next couple of days, at least until next Saturday, Sunday maybe.
Right, right.
So.
Do you have a family tradition like for Thanksgiving, you know, before or after dinner? Is your family going to go out and play kickball or football or, you know?
Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
No, not really.
Not really?
Not really.
Because you're going to watch football games, I assume, on that day. There'll be some football games you'll probably watch.
I don't think I have a TV yet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow. Then you need to go out and play kickball or something.
Mowing.
We had weird tradition. This is so weird. Because my mother wasn't a big football fan. She didn't like football much, but she liked to go out and participate with all the kids when we were there. And so the boys wanted to play football, so she'd let them play football for a while. And then my mom, I can still see her face. I didn't know we were going to talk about this. It just popped up. My mother would break out the croquet set.
Oh.
And my brothers would look at her side-eyed like, what? We're doing croquet. And she would set it all up.
All
and
the she little would get hoops, them, yeah, the wire hoops.
And she'd get the mallets out. And then we'd have it in, we'd do teams. We'd be on teams. And so you would alternate your hits, you know. It was the weirdest thing because we were a Southern, you know, we're going to drink our beer on Thanksgiving family. And mama's going to have her wine out there. And we're out there playing croquet on the lawn, right on the front lawn for the world to see.
In my grandmother's backyard in Shady Grove, this is back in the 70s, maybe late 60s, early 70s, lawn darts.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Oh, yeah. That's funny. And you know, the funny thing about our little croquet game, because it was typically after lunch and everybody had kind of just was relaxing and maybe it was between football games. I don't know. We would have the neighbors coming over. Oh, can we play? Can we play? It was like,
oh, yeah.
Everybody wants to play croquet. Oh. When did this become a thing? So it was kind of funny when my mom moved houses. She built her own house to her specs like she wanted it. And we were cleaning out stuff, and the out comes from the attic, the croquet set. And Mama was like, well, I don't really need to bring that over. And I said, well, you got grandkids now. You want to continue the little tradition of croquet? She goes, yeah, bring it to the new house. Let's put it in the garage and we'll see.
Right.
And I think she did. When the grandkids got old enough, she broke out her little croquet set and just a little weird Thanksgiving family tradition. So I might hit a couple of mallets of croquet this weekend in her honor. So.
Oh,
crazy. But yeah, football and kickball is big. Big.
Oh,
big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And lawn darts.
Lawn darts? Who knew?
God, it's amazing we survived the 70s.
I know. You're right. Absolutely right.
It really is.
Because we did bash each other a little bit with those mallets. I'm just going to say. I wasn't going to tell you that, but that's kind of true. Yeah.
And if you threw those wooden balls, those hurt. Those
trust
hurt.
Me.
Yeah.
I can feel the knot on my head as we speak.
101.7 FM, 710 Keom.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Now you're not flying this weekend.
Oh no! I'd rather be in a grocery store this weekend than an airport. And I ain't going near a grocery store.
I'd rather be in a grocery store than an airport any weekend.
Yeah, you got a point. What happened, though, we have a mess. We had a glitches in Dallas yesterday, technical glitches that delayed or canceled lots of flights. And it was not only DFW, it was Love Field, too. And so I was wondering if that...
What does that mean, glitches?
They're calling them technical glitches. They don't... Let me see what I can find. It's unclear what caused the equipment issue, but hundreds of flights were delayed. 100 flights were canceled. It was a mess.
And this is going to be... Leading into Thanksgiving.
Busiest Thanksgiving travel period in 15 years. So I checked with Mark Crawford at Shreveport to see if it trickled down. He said the only flight today affected... was the 7:45 flight was delayed until 9:41. It's not weather related. I'm sure it's probably related to the glitch. And then I said, hey, I got a friend who got stuck in Dallas because his Shreveport flight to Dallas got canceled. And he said the 6:45 flight was the only flight affected yesterday. So that was the one that apparently they were on, because this friend is going to Maui for Thanksgiving. And their flight from Shreveport, they got put on a later flight, I guess. And then when they got to Dallas, they got in the middle of this glitch. So they got stuck in a Dallas hotel. One day down from their Maui vacation is gone. I would be so angry. I'd be so frustrated.
When I was in New Orleans for work one time, and my daughter was going to fly down.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there we go. My daughter's going to fly down and spend the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to name the airline because it's out of business now, Glow Airlines. Just cancel the flight.
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue, because there weren't enough people. I mean, we're only going to be there for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And we lost a day. You said somebody's going to Maui?
Yeah, Ruben, I'd love to be in Maui for Thanksgiving.
Bring up my computer.
That'd be nice. Very nice. Oh, what a nice Thanksgiving trip.
On a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
It's just the best. Now, what do you think of when you hear this, though?
Oh, vacation.
Cousin Eddie,
yeah. You're right. Don't we all have a Cousin Eddie?
You're welcome. I heard he's homeless now, by the way.
Oh, really?
He's just, I guess he got messed up. I don't know.
And just as we wrap up the show, if you don't have a Cousin Eddie,
you are?
You are Cousin Eddie. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Look around you.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel.